Can we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, to the portion of Scripture that we read earlier in the meeting? And my text is the second part of chapter, or rather verse 20 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Now with our Bibles open before us, can we unite together at the throne of grace in prayer? Our gracious God and our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy precious word to our hearts today, for the instruction that it gives. And our Father, we thank Thee that we can come to a God who understands our situation, who knows our care. We thank Thee that Thou dost care for us. Thou dost know all about our struggles. Thou wilt guide till the day is done. We can say that there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. So gracious God, come and bless us as we gather at Thy feet today. Put Thy hand upon everything that is said and done. May all redound to Thine honour and to Thy glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. The Apostle Paul here is writing his last epistle, 2 Timothy, and he speaks here about different people. There are a number of people that he mentions by name in this particular epistle as he closes his last letter to Timothy. And in particular here, he speaks about this man Trophimus, who he has left at Miletum sick. Now, Trophimus is a man that we read about a couple of times in the book of Acts. He is a friend and fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul himself. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, we read about him being with Paul as he goes into Asia. He's a native of Ephesus. He is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he becomes a fellow laborer with Paul. On another occasion, we read that when Paul went to Jerusalem, that Trophimus was with him. And indeed, there was a stir in the temple because some of the Jews believed that Paul had brought Trophimus into the temple, being a Gentile, and that stirred something of a riot. But here's a man who had been laboring for the Lord. He's a faithful man in the work of God. And yet it says here that Paul has to leave him at Miletus sick. And I thought today that we would think about those words for a few moments, because sickness is a thing that has perplexed many of God's people in the past. We can think of all people who have gone through awful sicknesses. And indeed, there are many that have come to the point where they have had their faith shaken by the fact that there have been sicknesses. Maybe you say to yourself, well, why does God allow this sickness in my loved one? Why does God allow this sickness in me? Why has God brought me along this path? And when people have come to the point where they've had to endure great suffering, or where their loved ones have had to endure great suffering, it has shaken their faith. And they have wondered why God has brought them along that way. And so it's good for us to think about the subject of sickness. And not only do we think about it because of that reason, but because there are many today who have come with all sorts of theories about sicknesses. There are those of the charismatic school who say that we shouldn't endure sickness at all. That if there is sickness at all among the people of God, that God certainly will heal them. And God will put His hand upon them and raise them up out of the bed of sickness, because it is always God's will to heal His people. And people have been perplexed about that. And people have been led into all sorts of bypaths where they have been brought into places where their faith has been shaken. And so I felt it was good for us today to think about sickness, because I'm sure we've all been thinking about the sicknesses that have been endured amongst our fellowship and in the fellowship abroad. And amongst our ministerial brethren, there have been many sicknesses that have been diagnosed in past days. Indeed, our moderator today is sick, and he's been laid aside, and thank God for the measure of recovery that he has been given in answer to prayer. We think of our brother Billy Alexander and others that have been laid aside. And so I thought that it would be good today to think about what the Bible does say about sickness. And to think about what it says here and the thoughts that are brought to our mind through this verse of Scripture, so that we might have our minds straightened about these things. Now, when I make the remarks that I do today, I'm not remarking upon any particular case or any particular circumstance. We're just looking at what the Bible in general has to say about sickness. And we're going to do so by looking at this verse of Scripture. And as we come to the verse of Scripture, I want to see a number of things. The first thing that I want you to see is the cause of sickness. It says here, "But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Now that would remind us of the fact that the child of God can be sick. The child of God can endure sickness. And we see that very clearly because here is Paul, and this man is sick. He's a preacher. He's a man of God. But here he has to be left behind sick. And we need to be reminded of the fact that God's people can be sick because, as we said, there are those who tell us that we shouldn't be sick. I remember a man just when we were over in the south of Ireland, and I remember the case of a man who had been told that though his wife was sick, that she shouldn't be sick. It was because of some sin in her life that she was sick. And she was going to be raised again. And this man particularly believed that this woman was going to be, and he prayed. And the wife got sicker and sicker as time went on. And they told him, "Don't go to the doctors. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. And you don't need the doctors or anything else, but just believe." And this woman got sicker and sicker, and then she died. And the man was so convinced that she was going to be healed that he believed that she was going to be raised from the dead again. Now you can imagine when this woman died and when she remained dead, how that shook that man. How that man was brought into a turmoil. How he went through absolute torture. And what torture there must have been afterwards when he realized that his wife was not going to be raised from the dead. And there are many that tell us today that the Christian should not be sick. And if they are sick, it's because of some personal sin. But I want you to see here that this was not because of some personal sin that there was in this man. Trophimus were not told of any sin in his life. He was a man of God. He was a preacher. He was a man who was helping Paul along the way. But when he was helping Paul, and right at that time when he was in the work of God, that's the time that he was laid aside sick. And so we can see that the child of God can be sick. And we also see the fact that the child of God can be sick right in the midst of when he is in the work of God. And so we can look at that fact and we can discern that fact from the Word of God. And it's not hard to look into the Word of God and see many times when God's people became sick. We think of Paul himself. Paul was a man who suffered from sickness. We're told in the Bible that he had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And we read that he tried to get rid of this and he prayed to the Lord that he might be delivered from it. But the Lord said, no, God's strength was going to be made perfect in the weakness of Paul. And God left him sick. That wasn't that there was sin in Paul in that sense. It wasn't that he was deserving because of some personal sin that he was deserving of sickness. No, Paul was a holy man. You think of so many of others of God's saints. We think of Job. Job, we're told in the Bible, was a man who was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And he was so righteous that the devil remarked upon his righteousness and challenged God that if he would take away the health of Job and if he would take away all the blessings that he had, that Job would curse God to his face. And so we read that God allowed Satan to take away the blessings of Job, including his health. But it wasn't that Job was suffering from some sin. It wasn't because of some personal sin in Job that all these sicknesses came. We read in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14 of the prophet Elijah. Now Elijah was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. But who would say that that was because of some sin in Elisha? And if you do say it was because of some sin in Elisha, what sin? No, we can think of many of the saints of God who fell sick. We think of men down through the ages. We think of godly Robert Murray McShane. And he was known because of his walk with God as Holy McShane. And yet Robert Murray McShane, in his short life, suffered from sickness. And indeed, he died when he was only 29 years of age. And yet, when people saw Robert Murray McShane come into the pulpit, they felt as if he had just come out of the presence of God. And when he went back into the minister's room again, they felt it was as if he was just going back into the presence of God. You think of C.H. Spurgeon, who suffered from gout and had to take long periods away from his pulpit in the south of France in order to recover from his illnesses. No, the sickness is not always as a result of personal sin. Now, sometimes it can be. We have to say that. Sometimes it can be. Because we read of times when God sent sicknesses as a chastisement upon his people. We read of how it says in Micah 6 and verse 13, "Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins." Now we've got to bear that in mind. We've got to examine ourselves when we are sick to make sure that it is not because of some personal sin. It can be because of sin. We think of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, of those that had taken communion unworthily, and it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So there are times when it is a cause. The sickness is as a result of personal sin. But we read here how Trophimus was left at Miletum sick, and it certainly wasn't because of some personal sin that he had done. Now all sickness comes as a result of the fall, we know that. And in that sense, all sickness is a result of sin. But it is not always as a result of personal sin. And we can comfort ourselves with that, because there are people when they get sick and they say to themselves, "What have I done? What is it in me that has led to this sickness? Is God punishing me? Is God chastising me?" Well, I've got to look at myself and make sure that there is nothing in me that is causing the sickness, that God is chastising me. But I've got to say also that it is just in the will and purpose of God. If God leads me into sickness, very often it's just the sovereign will of a sovereign God. And I can't understand, and I don't know the way that God takes, and I don't understand some times the journey that I've got to go in life. But I just leave it all in the hand of the one who knows the future. And I'm just also convinced that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And now what I say when I face sickness is, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so we can see some thoughts here about the cause of sickness. Trophimus was left at Miletus sick, but it wasn't because of some personal sin in Trophimus that sickness came. But then I want you to think about the character of sickness, because not only can we think here, and not only have we thought some thoughts about the cause of sickness, but there's some thoughts here about the character of sickness. Because it says here, the word sick, where it says, "Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick," the word "sick" there is a word that means that he was left without strength. He was left in a condition where he couldn't go on. He was left in a place where he had no strength to get up out of his bed. That's the seriousness of the illness. So there was a quite serious illness here. Now, if Paul had felt that this was just a flu, or if he just felt that this was a fever that would pass, he would have perhaps waited a few days for Trophimus to get over all this, and then he would be able to gone on with him. But no, this is a serious illness. This is something that's left Trophimus off his feet. This is something that's rendered Trophimus without strength. And here's this man, and he's left without strength. He had been laboring the work of God. He'd been going from place to place with Paul. And I'm sure that he was perplexed about the fact that he was left without strength. You know, a person is laboring in the work of God or laboring in any sphere, and they're left there in the bed of sickness and they can't go on. It's a very frustrating thing. It's a very frustrating thing. And I'm sure Trophimus wondered to himself, "Why am I sick? Why am I left like this?" And it's a very natural thing for us to wonder why we are sick and why. And it's so frustrating to be so useful at one time and then to be laid aside. You know, sometimes the Lord just teaches us that we need to lean upon him. That our strength is only from him.
The psalmist often remarked the fact that he was laid aside and that he could meditate upon the Lord in the bed of sickness. And sometimes God has just got us to lay us aside that we might just think upon Him. We're so used to going on and so used to doing things in our own strength that we forget that every breath that we have and every strength that we have and every faculty that we've been given, everything is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And God just has to remind us of that sometimes. But you know, it was not only inconvenient for Trophimus here, but it was inconvenient for Paul. Because if you look at the verses or the chapter here in 2 Timothy 4, you'll read that Trophimus was sick right at the time when Paul needed him. Yet if you look at verse 10 and 11, it says there, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Greece unto Galatia, Titus unto Lamatia, only Luke is with me." So at this time, was not only that Paul had to leave Trophimus behind, but Demas had forsaken him. And we read that Grecians had gone to Galatia, and Titus had gone to Dalmatia, and only Luke was with him. And later on he appeals that Timothy would come to him, and that he would bring Mark with him. So Paul was in need of company here, and Paul was indeed of help in the work of God. Now, here's a man who had been in the work of God and would have been with Paul in this place if he hadn't been laid aside sick. At the very time when Paul needed him in the work of God, that's the time when he was laid aside. And you know, we can often think of the fact that so many of God's servants are laid aside right at the very time when they are needed. Right at the very time when it seems to be that they are most needed in the work of God, that's the time when they become sick. But you think here how the work of God went on. And there's a comfort in that. The work of God went on. You know, if we were to think to ourselves that the work of God depends upon me, and if I wasn't there to look after that Sunday school class, and if I wasn't there to look after my loved ones, or if I wasn't there to preach the word, or if I wasn't there to organize, then the work of God would come to an end. That would be an added burden, wouldn't it? But you know, God causes the work of God here to go on. And here was this man, and he was laid aside, but the work of God went on. And it's a comfort to realize that God continues to make His work go forward. And here was Trophimus. And I'm sure he felt that he was useless. Here he was, laid aside. He couldn't be with Paul. He couldn't be in the labor. He couldn't do anything for God. And there was nothing that he could involve himself in because he was sick. And I'm sure he felt pretty useless. But he wasn't useless because he could pray. He could pray. And there's many an old saint of God who's been laid aside, and they felt that they have become useless. And they have felt that they haven't been able to be involved in the work of God. And I'm thinking of people here who have been very involved in the work of God in the past. And they've been right there in the very center of it. And now they feel they can't do anything. They feel as if they're useless. But they're not useless. For they can pray. They can seek the face of God. And they can pray that God might bless His work. And that's what Trophimus, I'm sure, was doing. Even though he was laid aside, I'm sure he was praying for the work of God. So we see something of the character of this sickness. It had laid Trophimus aside. It had just knocked the feet from under him. But thank God he was still able to be used in the work of God. So we can think about some thoughts about the character of this sickness. And we can think about the cause of this sickness. But then there are thoughts here about the cure of sickness. Now I want you to notice some things about what we're told here. It says in the text, "But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Now who left Trophimus at Miletum sick? Paul left him at Miletum sick. Now Paul is a man who we're told of in the scriptures, was able to heal. He was able to heal. We read of a number of instances when Paul had healed people. We read of the time when Eutychus fell out of the loft Remember the time when Paul was preaching, and it was a long sermon, and we're told about a young man named Eutychus who had fallen asleep up in a window, and he'd fallen out of the window and he was taken up dead. And Paul had gone over and he'd raised Eutychus from death. And he had been able to restore life to the dead. We read about another time when in Lystra, Paul met a man who was lame from his mother's womb. And he was able to heal the man that was lame from his mother's womb. So Paul was a man who had mighty power to raise the dead and to give the strength back to a cripple. And I'm sure there were other instances as well that were not told of in Scripture. But Paul was a man who had been able to heal. Now you say to me, but why did he not heal Trophimus? If Paul had been able to heal Eutychus, and if Paul had been able to heal the man that had been lame from his mother's womb, why did he not heal Trophimus? Why had he left Trophimus at Miletus sick? Well, the only answer to that is that Paul knew that it was the will of God that Trophimus be left sick. Paul somehow discerned that it was the will of God that Trophimus at this time not be healed. And we can learn something there about the cure of sickness, in that it is not always the Lord's will that men and women be healed. We can think of the Paul himself. Now, Paul was a man who was sick, but he was not healed. He had gone to God and he had asked that he be healed, and he'd gone to God, we're told, three times, asking that he be healed. But God said, Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul had not been able to heal himself. Why? Paul had not been able to find healing. Why? Because God's will was not that he be healed. And we see that there are many here that remained sick. And Paul had done great healings, but in this instance he had not healed Trophimus. And we see that it is not always the Lord's will to heal. However, we also remember the many, many, mighty instances when God had healed. And God is able to heal. And God will heal. And God does answer prayer. We think of the mighty title that was given of God to the children of Israel. One of his titles. What was it? I am the Lord that healeth thee. And thank God the Lord is able to heal. Now in the case of the Apostle Paul and some others that were associated with the apostles, they were given the signs of an apostle. And that's why many of these healings were done and are done. They are done to strengthen the faith of God's people. Or they're sometimes done, these healings, as a sign in the world of the mighty power of God. Now the apostles had a special gift of healing that we don't have today. But we do have a scripture that we're able to claim today. It's found in James 5, verses 13 to 15. And it's a wonderful promise. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Now that's a wonderful promise. The prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now that's a wonderful instance of prayer. And you see how it is that the Lord raises them up. It's not the healer. It's nothing to do with the healing or the prayers of the people or the fact that they are so holy that they can pray or anything else. But it is the Lord that raises them up. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And you notice that God says to these sick people that they're not to go to gifted healers. Doesn't say that. He says, call for the elders of the church. And he says that the people can pray. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let the people pray. He says, don't go to a healer. I'm not directing them to a healer. He doesn't say there's a healing service that will be convened at such and such a time, and you should get your sick folks along to that. That's not what he says. No, he says this is a private thing. You pray. 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 And he says, just simply bring this to the Lord in the place of prayer. And God answers prayer. You remember King Hezekiah. We're told in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. But then we're told that when Hezekiah heard that he was sick, and the Lord said to him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That was a hard message to hear. It was a hard message to hear. But when Hezekiah heard this, we're told in the Bible that he turned his face to the wall and began to pray and began to cry. And we read that God heard his prayers, and he told the prophet Isaiah to turn, because Isaiah told him that he was going to die. And Isaiah was at that point making his way out of the palace. And God said to Isaiah, turn and go back to King Hezekiah. And this is the message that I want you to bring to him. He said, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And God did heal him and added a number of years onto his life as a result of that healing. He's the great physician. He is able to heal. And we've seen that. We have seen answers to prayer in mighty ways. We have seen God answering the prayer of faith in the saving of those who have been in sickness, and for the healing of those that have been in illness. The prayer of faith can heal the sick. And that is certainly something we can see in the Bible, and we can see the sovereign hand of the sovereign God reaching down in healing. So God does heal, and God does answer prayer. But we have to also recognize that sometimes it's not his will. And again, we have to say that we just say to the Lord, not my will, but thine be done. But that's not to say that we shouldn't pray. We should pray and seek the face of God for his blessing. So we see some thoughts about the cure of sickness. But then could I show you something else in this text of Scripture? There's a comfort in sickness. You see, these words here, they're among the last will and last words of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul here is led to mention the sickness of Trophimus. Now, Paul has his own problems at this time, because Paul is very conscious of the fact that he soon too will die. If you turn back to verse 6 and verse 7, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that death was just around the corner. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And you know, these are the times of the Emperor Nero. Nero was a great antagonist against the gospel. This is the time when many Christians are being thrown to the lions. You notice the mention of the lion there. He says in verse 17, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It may be that Paul was about to go to the lions at some particular time, but he knows that his time is short. He knows that he is about to die. But in the midst of all that, and you could well imagine Paul forgetting about other people, but in the midst of all that, he says, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. He remembers Trophimus. He's thinking about Trophimus. He's caring about Trophimus. And I'm sure he mentions Trophimus to Timothy in order that Timothy might pray for Trophimus. And there's a great comfort in the fact that we know that others are caring for us. Our fellow Christians are praying for us. Our fellow Christians are remembering us. Our fellow believers are bringing us to the Lord at the throne of grace and prayer. And others around us also are remembering us, not only the Christians, but also those who maybe aren't Christians are remembering. There's a great comfort in that. And you see here the comfort that Trophimus must have had in his sickness to remember that Paul was thinking about him. But I want you to see something more wonderful, because not only was Paul thinking about him, and not only was he speaking to others about him and reminding Timothy about him, and no doubt Timothy told others, for this was an epistle that was to be read, and others here would have remembered, the church at Ephesus from which Trophimus came, they remembered him, and remembered him in prayer. But not only did other people remember him, but the Lord remembered him. After all, here Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's writing this down, and Paul has written this under the inspiration of God, and God has got Paul to write this down so that we here in this day and generation will even remember that Trophimus was sick. Now, why should we be concerned about this man Trophimus? He's dead a long time. He's well past caring about his sickness, because God has brought him to that place today where there is no sickness. And we also remember the fact that God will bring us to a place where there is no sickness. God has redeemed his people from sickness. For there will be a day when every one of us will be given a new body that's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, we must suffer sickness in the body down here, but there's coming a day when there will be no more sickness. Thank God for that. But God has set down this in Holy Writ, and we remember Trophimus here. Why do we think about Trophimus? Well, in order that we might have the thoughts that we're thinking this day, and the lessons that we learn from the fact that Trophimus was sick, but also we are reminded of the fact that God cared about Trophimus. The Lord remembered Trophimus. And the very name here, the individual name, is written down here to remind us that God thinks about the individual. He cares for us. He does care. He understands. And we need to remember that lesson too, because when people sometimes get into the place of sickness, they come to the point where they think, God's forgotten about me. God doesn't care about me anymore, for why would he leave me like this? Why would he bring me to this place? God doesn't care. Yes, he cares. Yes, he understands. You know, we think about the day when Lazarus was sick. And they came to the Lord Jesus and said, Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And we're told that when the Lord was told that he didn't go immediately to speak to Lazarus or to heal Lazarus, but he waited behind. And in the meantime, when he was waiting, Lazarus died. Now, does that mean that the Lord didn't love him? Does that mean that the Lord didn't care? No, it doesn't. Because when the Lord did go to Lazarus, even though he was dead, when he wept, it says, the people said, Behold, how he loved him. How he loved him. And of course, the Lord raised Lazarus in that instance. But just because we're in dire straits, and just because we're going through difficulties, it doesn't mean that the Lord has forsaken us. No, the Lord had it written in his book about Trophimus that he was sick. The Lord knew he was sick. The Lord knew how bad he was. The Lord knew the end from the beginning. And thank God the Lord brought him through. And he knows all about our struggles. And he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. So in the midst of our suffering, he understands. In the midst of our need, he's always there. And that's a great thing, to remember that we have a God who loves and understands. I wonder about you, dear man or woman, who are not saved. You have nobody to turn to in your sickness. You have nobody to turn to in the midst of your need. I pity you today. You need one to whom you can come. The caring Savior. The understanding God. Doesn't mean that we'll not go through great sickness. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through great suffering. But he says, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the fires, and in the midst of the floods, I'm with thee. I'm with thee. And he's there with us every step of the way. Oh, may we all lean upon him. The loving, caring, understanding Savior, for his name's sake. Amen. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, We thank thee for thy precious word. We think of Trophimus here, left at Miletum, sick. We thank thee that thou didst know he was there. We thank thee that thou didst love him. We thank thee that even today we remember the fact that that man was left at Miletum sick. But Lord, we're also glad that he's not sick now. We thank thee that he's in glory now. We're glad that he's walking the streets of glory now. And our God, every sickness is gone. And every trial is behind him. And every suffering that he endured is all over. And we thank thee, Lord, for the fact that those who are saved will go to be with Christ, which is far better. Lord, comfort us now with the thoughts of these things. And put thy word upon our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.